Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Njangase.
Good morning, Cody, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Well, that is good. I'm well.
Fantastic. You know, we are actually going to talk about some of the challenges of intermarriage, interfaith marriages rather. But we want to understand if those challenges are unique to interfaith marriages or if they can also exist within marriages between people of the same faith, or if other differences such as culture or race can also have the same kind of challenges. Now, what kind of challenges do exist in interfaith marriages that are unique to these marriages?
Okay, thank you so much for that. I think the first unique question is the the expectations from the parties and their families, because in most cases they might assume that the woman would simply move to the faith of the husband or vice versa, which might not be the case. If that's not the case, that gives them a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Because the woman might say, no, I stay with my faith.
Yes.
Or the husband also, I'm staying with my faith. That is the one thing. And then obviously the second one would be the conflict of ideas. Yeah, this one I think is even more critical because the ideas are different because of the religious persuasions, which are not the same. This one, I think, is the most difficult one.
Now, tell me, Pastor, people could have differences of ideas and views, even if they're in the same faith. Would we say that this is unique to interfaith?
Well, more especially, because maybe let me just put it this way. You know, if people are of the same faith and they are quarreling, they may invite a pastor or a leader who might try and resolve their issue. But in the question of interfaith, you invite me to come there. I don't even know to address the other person's challenge, because I may not even know much about that faith. That is what I'm referring to. In other words, it is easy to reconcile when they get the good advisor, these people. But now in the interfaith, the advisor, which side is he coming from or she coming from? And if I come there, I may be biased with the one that I know, and crucify the one that I know nothing. Or I may even hate matter.
Yeah.
It is human sometimes to hate another religion. You see that.
Now, can
that is.
Thank you so much for that. Now, can two people not agree to disagree on their religious belief and still live together? They could perhaps say, you know what, my person, let's just agree to disagree on this one. We're not going to agree on it, and it's okay. Let's just leave it and let's continue with our lives. Can they still live peaceably with each other?
Yes, I did say this to Kay yesterday, that a compromise, and now we're using agree to disagree. They may reach a compromise whereby they say, you go your way, I go my way. I don't interfere with your faith, don't interfere with mine. In that sense, they can live peaceably, you know that. Yes.
Now, would you say in your view, there's something fundamentally wicked or wrong with people of other faiths?
Hey, that one is a very difficult question, because I don't want to sound judgmental, you know. I think only God is a fair judge. However, humanly speaking, it depends on how we understand what we call religious liberty. Those of us who are poor in that understanding might behave differently. From those who understand that, well, we must be tolerant here.
Yeah.
Tolerance is the keyword, but key. Not all of us are tolerant. That's the question, yes.
Yeah. Now, what about, I'm going to let you go shortly, Pastor. What about outside of marriage? Are interfaith friendships also discouraged? I mean, should people of different faiths just avoid each other altogether?
No, not at all, not at all. Because in this friendship, they may create an understanding. Friendship is open to talk, openly without judging any other.
Mm-hmm.
I may learn when I have a friend of another religion about his religion. Then it's up to me to accept or not to accept, but I may listen as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may begin to know things that I never knew about that particular religion.
Mm-hmm.
He or she may learn from me as well. So friendship outside of marriage, I may not discourage it, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to believe that there are limits.
Okay, what are
in
the
everything.
Limits?
They
what,
should,
what would,
yeah, well, the limits is that one must be careful lest he's swept away from his religion to the other, maybe unintentionally. It depends how convincing the other person is.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that is the limit I'm talking about.
I see. Now there's a scripture that says, "Do not be unequally yoked with the unbelievers."
Yes.
I don't know if you can unpack this one for us. What is it exactly referring to?
That is 2 Corinthians. I think it's 14:6 or 6:14. Yes, Paul was addressing the Christians in Corinth here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some were marrying to the non-Christians, and perhaps the impact was not so good to the church, as you would imagine. So Paul trying to keep them focused on their relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he discourages them because, marriage, or let me say love first, and then come to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In love, there's always a compromise, as I've said. There's always a meeting of each other halfway. For you to have a win-win situation, there's a compromise on yourself.
Yeah,
and you must compromise on yourself. And so somehow compromising the Christian faith in this case might be a negative compromise, Yes.
I see. So are you then saying that this verse is actually talking about marriage, not about life issues in general?
It is broader than marriage. It may start from marriage, but even in business context, let me just put it this way: you and I are of different faith. We win a tender, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Christian whose conscience does not allow bribing the one who has granted the what to call the tender. You want us to pay that money.
Mm.
There's a conflict already.
Yeah.
So it is bigger than marriage. It goes even into business partnership.
Oh, into other life issues.
Yes.
So basically, when they say then do not be unequally yoked, it means that you must not have partnerships with those of a different faith?
I may not say absolutely no. It depends again on understanding the business. If both of you are people of integrity, you can work together.
Okay.
The question is that of course this is not unique to interfaith now. It goes a long way. We may be of the same faith, but not of the same conscience.
Ah, I get you. Not of the same conscience. However, with regards to marriage, it would specifically refer to people being of exactly the same faith.
Well, I think in some ways yes, but in other ways no, because as I say, even people of the same faith, I have a story which I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
A certain brother was a Christian, was invited by another brother to say, let's partner in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, before we partner, let's go somewhere. He find himself knocking at the door of
who
is this one now? Sangoma, yes. Mm-hmm. And they went there. They were cut in the wrists here, and there were some black moti that were put there.
Mm.
And that guy called me to say, "Fundisi, now I'm from Sangoma. I didn't know." And they're both Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, tell me, Pastor, if then one has been involved in the interfaith marriage, and you know, they simply saying no, but my marriage is going well. He's a Muslim. I'm a Christian, and we're working fine. Or I'm an Adventist, and he's a Methodist, and we're working fine. What do we say to that? Is it something that people can copy and say, "Well, if it has worked for this one, so I can also did it."
Yeah, that's very generous. The truth of the matter is, it for some people it works, but I cannot say they're a model for us to follow. Because the fact that it's working for them doesn't guarantee it will work for us, it will work for me and the other person.
I see.
I may regret it. Mm-hmm. I may regret it while it works for the next couple. It may be a challenge on my side.
Very true, actually. Very, very true on that.
Yes.
Because what works for party A may actually not work for party B, because we don't know how they make it work. However way it works for them does not automatically means for party B it will definitely work. All right, no, that's good. But before I let you go, Pastor, what would you say to a young person out there looking to marry, and they're already in a relationship, and perhaps it's been going well with a person of another faith, and they're now listening to our discussion, and they're thinking, no man, then it means I must drop this, and yet they've not had any fight, they've not had any differences, and they're respecting each other's space. Would you still say, well, drop it, let's rather look for something else, or what would you say?
Well, the advice is that because there is danger involved, I would say let the Christian person in particular think carefully with all the scripture given in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember, if you read, I think it's Numbers. No. It should be Nehemiah 13 verse 30 or something, where Nehemiah forced the Israelite male to divorce their foreign wives. It was a mass divorce because of the influence they were bringing into the nation of Israel. Even the language was now compromised. The faith in God was now compromised. So Jeremiah was a very hard leader. And so he compared them, divorced them, and with their children. You see, we rather do what they call in health, prevention is better than cure. So a person should think along those lines. How can I should prevent this, even though I don't foresee any problem now. It's going well, but it is no guarantee after the marriage. That is my advice.
Good. And actually, you know what you're saying? It actually reminds me of a concern that God once expressed with Solomon and with his wives, saying that you have brought here foreign wives who are actually bringing foreign teachings into into my land. And so God really expressed his displeasure at people of other faiths. So I do buy what you're saying. Mfundis, I must thank you so much for your time, and thank you for always being generous with us and giving us your time. The Lord bless you, and the Lord be with you and keep you, and also expand your ministry.
I'm happy that I've contributed. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.